Welcome back. We're here at the For Your Best Self podcast. I'm Dr. Rebecca Novo, and I am beyond excited, humbled, honored to have the one and only Derek Gores in the studio, one of our local true talents. A lot of you know him. This is going to let us get to know him a little bit better. We're honored to be able to get a recent piece of Derek's. He came to our office, gave us some advice on art design and feedback, and we picked a great piece, which will be a part of the show. So welcome and thank you sincerely.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for answering the door when I knocked selling my art. There you were.
We're always there. But I grew up in an artistic household, and I truly, firmly believe art's one of the greatest gifts you can give the world. I mean, you're creating history, and you have already created some iconic pieces, which I know most of our audience is listening, but Derek spent some time putting together a lot of his great art. If you can watch this on YouTube or our website, there's a lot of great visuals. We'll describe them and go through them, but it would definitely be an episode worth watching. So let's just start at the beginning. You are local. You grew up here. You went to Satellite High School.
Sure, you're right. Well, I was born in New York and then really grew up in Massachusetts till I was 10 years old. I still feel that in my roots. And then my folks got tired of the snow and taxes, I think, and We came down to Satellite Beach, and yeah, I went through Surfside and Delora and Satellite.
Very cool.
And then New England called me back for art school. I went to Rhode Island School of Design.
Beautiful.
Up there in Providence.
Very nice. And so this is home now. And what in your youth, I think it's rare to become an exceptional professional artist during your lifetime. So what kind of mold you or shaped you in that direction?
I've always drawn, and I drew mostly as a kid, but all kinds of creativity. I can remember my dad was a florist, and I can remember I would go into the flower shop probably especially on the weekends, I guess, maybe Saturdays or something, and I would mess around with empty buckets and magic markers and floral tape and wires, and I would make things. My parents, my dad died about a decade ago, but my mom's still here and still part of my art scene. But they were always just very encouraging with creativity in general. I can also remember spending lots of time like out on Cape Cod in the summers, mm-hmm. drawing an old grist mill out there with my dad. Yeah, let's see. Then I'm also exactly the right age that when Star Wars hit, it was a jolt to the veins of just inspiration and creativity. So I've always made art one way or another. And then it started to, you find a way to want to sort of tell stories about people. I think my art has hints of stories in mm-hmm. it. When I was younger, I probably was typical in that I would kind of try to freeze a moment in time, mm-hmm. but now I actually like that the collage pieces are the opposite of that. They focus on an image, but it kind of shimmers. It's never really there. It's mm-hmm. it has little
layers.
Bits of layers and mm-hmm. also little hints of other moments inside
right.
the pieces.
And
if you want, you could start to pull up a piece or two, and I can try to describe even for the listeners as
yeah.
well.
We're going to work through. You definitely have a distinct style that most people would probably identify you with as the collage art. And it's, obviously there's so many forms of art, and it's neat to see that you have different interests and styles. So we're going to work through some of those
Yeah, thank
pieces.
You. The collage, I landed on collage kind of after a nice healthy battle between imagery and abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
When I went back up to New England for art school, it was I was kind of a decent kind of photorealist kind of artist. I was on that path.
Mm-hmm.
But then got turned on to abstraction and kind of channeling some chaos and letting randomness
right,
play
like
into
organized chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I went off and then I started doing you know, I did t-shirt art for a long time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my late 30s that I came back to fine art. And actually, this piece up here gives you a good example.
We're looking at
a recent piece. This is an 8-foot by 8-foot piece that is out at the Hotel Bel Air in Beverly Hills
right now. And you were the first artist in residence.
That's true. This is an historic property. This is one of the
It's now on my bucket
where,
list.
it's special. There's a Wolfgang Puck restaurant there, and it's an oasis for sure. I mean, right there in L.A., you're hidden in this oasis right there in Los Angeles. But
and you said Marilyn did one of her last
photo shoots was there at the Hotel Bel Air, and yeah, I was honored to be their first artist in residence. Mm-hmm. And we also have a video of me making that piece.
Yeah, let's do the video.
Grab that.
It's such a process. Like, you must just get in the zone.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's very much a zone thing. I like to, you know, you get the right music on, and then I sort of have to clean up before I make a big mess.
Right.
But then I have all these scraps that are sorted by color mostly. And for this Marilyn piece, I knew I wanted it to be black and white. And let's see, that
you must be extremely organized. Like, it looks.
Oh no.
No.
No, you know what? I let it be intuitive, the actual artwork. So I, other than having the pieces, and this is not the Marilyn piece, by the way. I'm not sure what this is, but that's all right. No, let's see. Where is that one?
We'll come back.
Yeah, we'll
this
come back.
This was the video.
That's a still image there, but okay. we'll get there.
It does show some behind the scenes parts of your process, which is pretty mesmerizing to watch because let's talk about your zone.
When I'm making the pieces, the only organization that I like to have is just thinking of the colors that I want to use, black and white. In that particular piece, it's black and white with just a bit of pink to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like it to just happen very intuitively. In most of my pieces, I'm making a picture of a figure, a portrait, a moment in time. But then I like the small pieces that I use to come from all kinds of places, everywhere else. So that can mean, you know, I like to use things that you wouldn't think of as art as well. So sometimes that means like maps or schematics or menus, or in the case of the Marilyn piece, I used old scripts, even handwritten notes in the side of the scripts that she had. Sometimes
it's like you're weaving it together.
Yeah, and I kind of just trust the inherent value of the thing. You know, I've also made like commissions for medical. In the medical field, and for example, I like using like whether it's screenshots of an oncology report or X-rays or things again that you wouldn't think of as art, but for the people in that field, it's everything.
Their language.
So
that makes sense.
And so
anything can be art, really.
Sure.
You know, it's really up to the interpretation. I think that's what's so fascinating. It's so limitless, which I could see being overwhelming. But
I just kind of trust that I try to be in the zone and in that moment, and I trust that the elements that I put my hands on are going to add up to something.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this zone is about being just on the edge of control for me. I set out with something in mind, a main image that I want to create, but I like to go right up there on the edge of what's possible that I could use in that piece, and kind of trust that there's going to be beauty in it.
It's awesome.
At the end of the day.
Do we want to guide Jesse to get the video up? It's a cool video. I think it's worth
watching.
He's
on the right there, so I think he's identified the right one. We can come back to that if you want.
Is it okay? Do you want to touch on commission or...
Yeah, or Jesse, are you able to look at some of the other images in that kind of category, or?
Yeah, we go to row two.
Sure, yeah.
It seems like you do have a lot, like there's a butterfly theme, which I love, and there's a lot of pop culture references. Can you speak to that? I mean, you do Kate Moss, you do Marilyn, you do a lot of beauty, women looking and feeling beautiful, strong, shoes, Audrey Hepburn.
True.
Is that, and that was that, that an remains influence?
An, it remains an active exploration for me. Mm-hmm. The real answer, the long answer is my love of the figure. Mm-hmm. My favorite artists are Egon Schiele and Gustav Klimt, you know, from German Expressionism 100 years ago. When I dug deeper into them, I found that they are, to me, they're still the main influence of today's fashion photography.
Wow.
The kind of angular sense of in the posing and in the lighting, that where the angles then emphasize the curves and the beauty of the female form. And so then when I, you know, years later came back to collage as a medium, I realized that I could kind of put all my interests in one place. It lets me be abstract,
right,
but still angular and still kind of playing in that aesthetic. And now I also have, you know, but somewhere in there also is like what I feel is my responsibility to be a modern person, a modern man, not wanting to objectify women either. 100 years ago, even those heroes I mentioned, you know, there are a lot of question marks, a lot of trouble, a lot of hard topics in looking at art through the last century.
Right.
So it remains something that, you know, I'm compelled to make the art that I want to make, but I also like to have this conversation, especially with women, making sure that I'm on a track that is worth being on. So it matters to me when you reached out and you want to speak about my art, that matters to me that you enjoy it enough and respect it to want to talk about it. You
know? I think it's so powerful. I mean, it's beautiful but strong at the same time, and it's not, you know. Everyone wants to feel good, and sensuality is powerful as well. And I think it's just a good balance. Like the piece we picked is abstract, but yet there's a form to it of a woman's body. And I thought that really kind of aligned to what we do. And
sure.
And there's definitely layers to it. So we'll come to that piece.
Right.
As well, and you know, I mean, you have nature, you have water and butterflies, and you draw inspiration from a lot of places.
I do. The figure is my overwhelming subject. And Jesse, is this what we're on right now? Is this here? Okay, so like here now we get an example of some of my drawing work. These are pieces that are done with charcoal. I call this my unmentionable series, where they're
charcoal lingerie,
hints of lingerie, but just kind of barely there. And these these drawings, and here's a figure
beautiful.
Drawing that we're looking at. The drawings are like they're my antidote to the collage in a way. The collages take a long time, and I have to kind of psych myself up for that zone.
Yeah,
the drawings I've done for a longer time, but they happen in a split second. Here's a little surprise. I haven't shown these before publicly.
Ooh.
These they
buzzworthy.
Other people have, but I thought I would show you guys these. These were commissioned by E and the Kardashian show.
Keeping
up with the Kardashians a few years ago. and believe it or not, it was intended for the show, and then they never aired them on the show. The story was they were going to be used to build buzz for the upcoming season, and then right before the season started, Kim, who's on the screen here in the collage, she went blonde for a moment, and because of that, they didn't want to air my dark hair.
It wasn't on trend.
Something like that. So for that split second, and then they said, we'll air them at mid-season, and then it just didn't happen. I was still
it's
paid
aired.
For it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I love how, like, you do that in her piece, the hidden faces, and then the butterfly. You use a lot of the face profile to define the wing.
Exactly.
It's, yeah, actually, it's can we so pull up one stunning. Pull up this one if you can. Is that one loaded?
Yeah, that's a good example of what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's just how one shape kind of defines the other shape. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, and that's a good thing when you were asking about my zone. That's the kind of sensory experience that I'm trying to create. There you go. So this butterfly piece, and this is a relatively new piece. This is an example where hopefully you can make out the butterfly, but then, you know, upon closer inspection, you see there are other images at play here. So
yeah, the body on the right side.
Yeah, so in order to form that shape of the wing on the left, I've used the profile picture, and just the shape of the nose helps to form the wing there. I like that kind of illusion, mm-hmm. that multiple readings of the same information.
Absolutely. And the butterfly is so symbolic as well, just, you know, morphing and evolving. We talk about people cocooning is in style right now. Women are cocooning.
Ooh, right.
To feel safe and protected, and they're
true.
In fashion.
That's
so I read.
Sure.
Cocooning. And then they're gonna come out the butterfly. So
yeah, and even the, you know, the brief moment, the fleeting life,
mm-hmm,
the fleeting beautiful moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, and yeah, transformation certainly.
Yeah. And you are good about lips, and speaking of your drawings, I don't know if you have any of your lips, but
I did not bring
the
a lips
simplicity
drawing.
Of just those lines and creating shape.
Thank you. Oh, well, there are some lips on the screen right now. This is another one that I haven't shown.
I love it. Yeah, I asked about your collaboration with Lenny Kravitz.
Yes, so before I dug back into collage, I had 15 years of being a commercial illustrator. Never with my signature on it. You can see there's no signature on this, but this, I did a lot of merchandise design for sports teams and for musicians. A lot of the musicians were like Sony labels and Live
wow.
Nation.
Yeah.
And that included this t-shirt design that I did for Lenny Kravitz, and it was cool to kind of channel that Let Love Rule 70s vibe.
Yes.
Bell bottoms and all that, and he's got like the finger snapping pose
yeah.
going on, and kind of a Star Wars font. And
very cool. And Star Wars, you have a phenomenal stormtrooper collage. I don't know
Thanks.
That it's.
No,
I've
I didn't bring that.
That.
I brought.
It's on your
I
website.
I brought a million things, but
yeah.
not the two you're.
It's at derekhorse.com.
Exactly. Yeah, and up on the screen now is an example. When I do commissions, if they're really big, sometimes it involves, you know, layers of proposals. And
is this the piece that's at the Space Center? Because I know
no,
you did a big.
I did a piece for Apollo 12, but this I brought this along as part of a conversation there. So this is a. This is the kind of thing I would like to do, you know. I'm working with more and more companies on the Space Coast,
yes.
and we have such history, of course. So, you know, art lets you tell stories, and my collage medium is uniquely able to take all those moments, the authentic moments, taken in snapshots or even in, capsule recordings and
wow.
mission control moments and all that can then add up to the indelible,
right.
you know, historic moment. So these are some concepts that I hope to execute somewhere on the Space Coast.
Incredible.
This is an example now of a finished mural piece that I did down in Miami at the Lowe's South Beach Hotel.
Beautiful.
Great property.
Gorgeous.
It is a nice hotel, yeah. A woman gazing out at the beach. Yeah, this is probably one of your most more famous, which is the Hugh Hefner Playboy cover, the Hugh Hefner portrait, which...
True. And, you know, after I jumped back into fine art, I stayed away from commission pieces and even kind of celebrity pieces for a long time, but then I decided to, why not, come back to it. And Jesse, if you want, I think we have the video of the creation of this one, if that's easy to grab.
Must feel surreal that that's your cover.
That's true. And is this the right video? I don't think so. Somehow it's like playing the next thing instead of the actual thing.
You can play it. I mean, it's cool to see your process.
That was that's my studio. That's me in high speed. Hugh Hefner died in the fall of 2017, I believe it was, and that's an example where I tracked down their art directors and pitched the concept.
Mm.
And they jumped. They said, yes, please. They liked what I did, and I said, I'm the guy. I work with magazines. I would love to try to honor Hugh Hefner's legacy through all the moments of the history of the magazine, 60 years or something like that. And
It
worked out pretty well.
It's nice to hear that you're putting yourself out there. You know, it's not just all going to come knocking at your door, but it's like you have a vision and like this would be a great fit, that synergy. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. That's I hustle. I like to create opportunities for myself. I'm ready when somebody calls, but I also try to go. I have a lot of ideas, so I call people up and say, "Hey, what about this?" And some of them stick.
Mm-hmm. That's
definitely.
Awesome. You've also collaborated with Kentucky Derby, Renascente in Italy, Adidas, to name a few, Rodeo Drive. So there's little pieces of you everywhere. And
little scraps of paper all over the planet. True.
You're planting your seeds.
Right. Yeah. Again, I kind of stayed away from commissions for a while, wanting to just make sure I believed in my art. I had to feel it for myself first.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I had... Once I felt comfortable for a handful of years, I felt like I could work in commission form and still, hold my own ground about it. You know, now when somebody, it's not easy when somebody wants a certain thing. I have to, I say no to a lot of things, but then if I can click with it and I feel like I can honor it and believe in something, then I'm game to try.
Mm-hmm. You do private commissions as well? Do you find that?
I do. Yeah, in fact, you know my friend Olivia Womack, the photographer. What I do, kind of a super special thing that she and I have concocted, she will take photographs in her boudoir, beautiful style, and then I can make a collage from those photographs.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the photographer. I love once I have all these materials to work with. And when I do a piece like that, I like to further customize it by asking the subject, what are your favorite songs? What are your favorite cities?
That
books,
true
films.
True keepsake. I mean, it becomes more beyond a portrait. It's layers of that person.
Right. Hopefully it can bring in all the senses and be more than
that's more amazing. Than just that's a great
snapshot.
Collaboration.
It's
I could
fun.
See
and
that.
And she Olivia is now my studio mate. We're neighbors in there, and we enjoy it a lot. I think it's been good business, but it's also just good fun having
synergy.
Good synergy and having just another creative person to bounce off of in there.
Right, and Darcy, who we've had as a guest on the shows in the space as well.
She is, yeah, giving her makeup tutorials and.
It's awesome.
And all that stuff.
I'm going to an event coming up. Well, when this airs, we'll be at their event. So
that's right. Busy people. It's all going on, isn't it?
Yeah. Beautiful. So you kind of touched on murals and some of your visions for murals. I think it's such a great way to beautify a community. And like you said, there's so much history to tell. And there's a controversial mural on your building.
True.
And the Oak Galley one.
Yeah, Jesse, if you want, you can grab that mural piece there, that mural's JPEG there on row 5 at the far left, yeah. About half of my energy, I got to speak to this, right? So what we're looking at right now,
yeah.
Is this on right now?
Yeah, it is.
It's cool.
But let's get back to the mural.
Okay.
Yeah, the
get back to that one if you can.
Yeah, murals.
Yeah, My wife would tell you right away that I spend about half my time on my own art, and then half my time thinking about just the whole community and what can we all keep doing to help art to continue to be made.
Right.
And so one form that takes, I was a co-curator of a mural festival a couple of years ago where we brought in several artists, and what we're seeing on the screen right now, this is Shark Tooth from Los Angeles.
So that's when we kind of noticed that upcropping, especially in Nogali, and it's super cool. I love the Lego people, too.
Right. Well, unfortunately, he's down right now. But it's all right. We'll get him a new wall.
I heard it's sad that they were so good, could be temporary.
You know, mural artists, that comes with
they
the territory.
Accept it.
Yeah, I mean, even when we brought in Shark Tooth on this wall, like that building is nearly condemned, and it was 5 years ago when he painted on it. But he didn't mind that.
Right.
It's a moment in time. It's the opposite of putting your art on a wall with air conditioning and museum quality glass. It's the opposite of that.
That's
You're
true.
Out there in the elements, going for it. You know, each time I drive by, I can see a little piece of it maybe chipped off. A couple times I've touched it up when it got tagged by, you know, some kids writing their names on it. But that comes with it. And, you know, as Shark Tooth said, hey, when the time comes that it comes down, then invite me back and I'll make another one. So
very cool.
Same goes with
just
Legos
a
and
energy
other things.
You accept.
But yeah, murals are literally the cheapest way you can transform a space. I mean,
right.
Back when we couldn't entice a hotel to come to town yet, we could rustle up a few $1,000s and paint a wall like that 15,000 cars drive by.
Right.
And the thing about a mural is it's like proof of life that something's happening there. So,
right.
You know, anytime you see it, you can't help but think of when the artist painted it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got some emails. Oh, I can't drive over that causeway anymore. My children are going to be scared. And like, come on, there are actual three-dimensional sharks in the actual ocean. Are you going to be afraid of a two-dimensional shark?
I promise it's not going to hurt you. Yeah,
right. Many more people love it, and you got to be a little daring. I mean, sure, in the controversy of a couple of the murals, you had some, you know, people say, what if we painted manatees? And like,
more turtles.
You can see actual manatees and actual turtles. But part of what we try to do, part of what I try to do, is to have a spectrum of possibilities. So actually what came out of that great controversy was, one of my friends really put it well when she said, and it wasn't about this mural, but it was a different one, a Matt Gondek mural, but she said, you know what, when you guys did the mural festival, this wasn't my first one initially, but now it is, because this mural represents the spectrum of possibilities, that there's something for everybody, and I want there to be something for everybody.
Wow.
You're not, I often say that any good art show should have at least one piece that you kind of question yourself, like whoa, does this belong? Is this really
this is art?
Yeah. And actually that next piece you're about to put up there, that robot love sign, it's a good segue to talk about that, I think.
Yeah, this is really exciting, and it was fun pre-show talking to you a little bit more about robot love, and just talking about, I love how you said we do it as needed, and you're like, it was needed, and a time when you felt the community really needed to be rallied or inspired or brought together.
Yeah. Robot Love, we've done 5 times now. We're in the middle of number 5. That's up through February 27th.
There's still time.
Still time. The first one we did in 2009 and then did it again in 2010. Those were just little one-weekend pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And then the team kind of splintered for a while. We did it again 2015, 2017, and then it, you know, after the year we've all had, it felt like, let's do it again. Robot Love is always about the most art forms we can mash up together and get as many creative people involved. You know, I champion the visual arts, but my co-producer, Marty, loves the dance element. Mm-hmm. We have people who their thing is the fashion element or the theater or the music or a sculpture. So now you're seeing some peaks inside the show.
Mm-hmm. It's all the senses, right?
All the senses, really, and it's
experience.
And it, to me, it becomes about translating. Like, you know, I have certain language I use to describe what I do, but everybody's got their own, and even in their own industry or vocation, whether you think you're an artist or not. And it's about kind of listening and learning from each other and making some, you know, it's a 1+1=3 kind of a scenario in life if you're doing it well. This is from opening night. Yeah. We were able to pull off a show that was daring and cool and yet safe at the same time. We had some of our components outside, the live music and dance.
That's kind of your icon, right?
Like on your Yeah, like your the shirt. Pixelated 3D heart there. And then I think, do you have this little video next? Maybe not.
Yes, I do.
Cool. so here's a little, sorry.
There's a lot of information.
Any technical snafus, blame them, send them to @DerekGores because I
inquire.
I only sent all this stuff to Jesse about a half an hour ago. So
it's a lot of great stuff.
But so Robot Love is super special. It's the community. It's all the creativity, and we keep it open. You're never sure exactly what form it's going to take. Always new players step up. It's never the same big shots from previously. This is that video. If you can make that play again, perhaps. But this is some of the live spectacle that we created. People in costume and you know, the idea of robots. It's, you know, we on the Space Coast. We're humans orchestrating machinery all you know, for our jobs and our lives, and robots become a neat kind of framework or a vehicle for us to. At the end of the day, the show is about humanity and the spectrum of creativity and possibilities. Mm-hmm. So storytelling through this lens of robots is
good for all ages.
Is very fun. Okay. Mostly, there is Kids Day this Saturday, depending on when this airs. I mean, we push the edge a little bit, but my kids can see it all. So come give it a try.
Just gauging my 4-year-old. It's Kids Saturday. Kids Saturday.
Kids Saturday, including we have a battle bot. We have a Kraken battle bot in the show.
Oh wow!
And the folks from Kraken are having like a kids demo of kid robots fighting, you know, trying to knock each other over and all that.
Sounds awesome.
If you want, you could move on to the images on the next line if you're able to get there. So now we're kind of talking about community a little bit, and you were asking me earlier about my studio space. You're going to see a little bit of that here in a minute. I'm working on figuring out my own next kind of permanent space. I love where I am with Olivia right now. This isn't Robot Love, but this is a fashion show I did in Tucson a few years ago. But I think it speaks to how I like to make the art, you know, activate the art, get it off the walls, and get the crowd involved. This was a kickoff for their Tucson Fashion Week. Cool butterfly photo op this was a show in New York, actually. But I think my next thing, I know my next thing is going to be, is going to have all the art forms. I'm working on a concept that'll have studio possibilities, because there's no epicenter of art where art is made in Brevard County right now.
Right.
We've been able to kind of have people make things in their own spaces, clawing and scratching, and then bring them together for an occasional show. But it's time for an epicenter of where the art is made. So I'm working on that, and then hopefully it will also include a marketplace for that art and exhibition spaces.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring out how all those pieces fit together.
Yeah. So a culture of collaboration, basically creating that, and we've always felt that way in our practice, that collaboration is so much stronger when you can work together, uplift other like-minded people. Sure. And it's just really exciting, the potential there.
It's inspiring. I mean, it's also just good business to you know, meet people outside of our circles. We get artificially placed in these, you know, kind of cubicles of whatever your industry is, but there's so much potential to just get to know each other, find out what we have in common, and stir up possibilities, see what's something new that neither of us would have come up with, you know, by ourselves.
That's beautiful. I look forward to seeing that evolve in Ogalle.
That's right. Definitely in Ogalle. I'm 100% Ogalle. If you call me up and say you want to meet for, you know, downtown Melbourne, I'm like, how about Ogalle?
Egad.
Egad, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that I'm going to definitely take my daughter Saturday. And then that will be nice if you're building this. The Fusner is sadly, I mean, it's making space for something new and exciting.
To be clear about it, the Robot Love is the second to last exhibit in the Fusner Art Museum. There'd be one more, and then the Fusner Art Museum will be no more. And we, as a friend of mine put it, we, you know, a lot of us fought hard on behalf of the Fusner for a lot of years, a lot of people in a lot of different ways. But we, at this point, have mourned the loss of it, and we're excited about what's going to be there next.
Right.
There's one of the sponsors, in fact, of Robot Love is Northborough Builders, and Larry Jarns of Northborough is purchasing that property.
Right.
And if we can't have a museum, you know, probably next on the list is an art-flavored hotel.
Right.
So he's going to bring a very cool hotel to that site. And we need, you know, you need people with, not everybody needs to stay at a hotel on the beach. Some people want a little pinch of an urban experience, you know, a little bit of city life with
our Wynwood.
With the culture, our Wynwood, our Greenwich Village, maybe, you know, that kind of, that kind of vibe. There's room for different kind of vibes throughout the county. You know, Ogalle is right in the center of the county. It's a great inspiration point for, you know, the other parts of the county, and the hotel is going to be a terrific addition. So I've enjoyed getting to know Larry, and we're talking about stuff. We have
that's
some thoughts
exciting.
Together. Yeah,
I like to know that you're on board. That's exciting.
I am. Yeah.
So we kind of talked about the next chapter, and a lot of it's kind of to be disclosed as it evolves.
Yeah, I'm working. I mean, if there's anybody out there who wants to collaborate, big or small, I can be found. And I think you can probably tell from this conversation, I love collaborating, whether it's in an art show or on a property, you know. So big things coming. I also should mention, you know, with Robot Love, for example, we had an incredible list of sponsors who jumped in on that show. And we're not a nonprofit. These are sponsors who get it, who wanted to help fuel art.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a charity case. It's we often say to the sponsors, you know, consider this marketing. This is being right on the cutting edge of cool, finding new ways to tell your story, a new way to engage the cool audience in town. You know, some folks, sometimes you see pop up in the newspaper or online, people talk about how are we going to attract and retain the tech talent for Brevard County, for the Space Coast. What is it? We have like the second highest density of engineers or something in the country. How are we going to attract and retain that talent when we're competing with, say, you know, San Francisco and I don't even know the list beyond that. Well, I know the answer is community, but it's culture. It's buzzing, thrilling. Culture.
Agree.
And it's got to be more than being able to, you know, see one play a month on a weekend or something. It's got to be buzzing all the time.
Yes.
And so I think that's where we bring art to the table. And when you walk around the streets of Ogalle, you know, with the tasty coffee in your hand, or the you know, the artisan beer down the street at the brewery, or, you know, just everything a little bit just done with that artisan feel, and along with maybe you're looking at a mural, or you're enjoying the you know, the stickers that have been put up on the telephone poles if the city didn't scrape them off yet, you know. That's the vibe of an arts district. I think any cool city in the country has a pinch of that, and we're excited to rally for
I
hours.
I agree with you. Brevard is so lucky to have you kind of pushing, nurturing that. Very lucky. How do people reach out to you? What's the best way?
Let's see. Well, through my website, you know, derekgores.com. You can contact me there, or by email, derek@derekgores.com, or lately, lots and lots of Instagram. If you find me on the at Derek Gores, people DM. Seem to enjoy. Yeah, DM kids. It's so easy. But I was just marveling this morning about how Instagram has used to sort of just be the 20-somethings, but now I'm getting more and more folks of all ages. It's just such a visual platform. It works well there. But or come find me. Come find me at Robot Love. You got a couple more weeks. I'm there sometimes. We have an outstanding GIF shop. That's GIF shop, to use some robot computery language.
I love it.
Tons of merch in the GIF shop, and I'm sometimes there looking for some stickers that I want to put on something. But
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, it has been a total pleasure to get to know you a little bit better, and I look forward to seeing what you're going to create. And thank you.
Thank you so much. I think this is very cool that you do this. What a cool medium. What a great way to get to know your own community better and shake some things out into the light. I'm going to have to listen back. So how does my voice sound?
I love it. Well, thank you. Thanks so tune in. This will be on YouTube and our website. So share it and subscribe. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.